Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome everyone. This is Brother Bob Awitafa right here in Oklahoma City. You just heard the beautiful music of the late, great Whitney Houston. We want to thank you all for tuning in to Blog Talk Internet Radio show tonight. I'm your host with the most, Bob Awitafa, right here in Oklahoma City. We have a windy night tonight, but at the same time, we're going to have a definitely great fun, and we got a good show. Hopefully some of our callers will call in and express their opinions about what they heard tonight and offer their thoughts and ideas as well as mindset as to what they believe we can do to better the show or what we can do to allow them to get on the show as well as creating ideas themselves for an electrifying, well-rounded show. Tonight we're going to be talking about Black Economic Times. And hopefully, again, that we'll be able to say something that'll trigger a need in someone out there to stand up on their own 2 feet and to start providing for themselves and their family and their community, and that you're able to do something, stand out, to be counted for, and to let everybody know, hey, you are somebody and that your ideas, your thoughts, and mindset counts. So let's think about it. Blacks in the United States are worth over $1 trillion, everybody. You heard me right. We spend that much yearly. But in all reality, we have to ask ourselves, what do we have to show for this money? Where is it being spent? We're wasting it on products that somebody else controls beyond our concern, beyond our control. And each night that we spend and invest in that person's store, manufacturing place, gas station, medical services, or whatever, that person is taking the money out of our community back to their side of town. So in other words, they're coming into the community, robbing us of what little finances we have, taking it out, and when you take money and don't resurface the money in the community, what happens? Desperation sets in. People begin to wonder where the jobs are. People begin to wonder if they're going to be able to put gas in their car. Yes, the money is being taken out from us. For the most part, if we owned it ourselves, it will turn around and trickle the continual spiral by being here on the east side instead of being outside of the community, building up the finance and community of others. And let me tell you something else. When you take money out of your community and it goes into another mindset and another community outside of your own, listen carefully here. What that does is it builds that community up and it places your community in that much more of a blighted area. And when you're living in a blighted area without proper education, proper housing, proper food, and food deserts and things being in your community, it's called this gentrification to flourish. What is gentrification? That means coming into a community, a blighted community, and uplifting it through economic means, through financial advancements and investments, so forth and so on. So now when we look at that, we should be the ones ourselves owning our own schools, our own hospitals, our own grocery stores, farms, and the like. But at the same time, you can't own these type of things, these very viable things, these substantial things, without yourself having the money in which to do so. So as I just told you, the job that we're talking about, the money that we need to be independent, to be self-sustaining, is being taken out of our communities by foreigners who are coming into the community, like the Arabs, the Asians, and other people, Hispanics, and even the Caucasians, that's coming into our community and robbing the black community of in and everything, all this wealth. And guess what we get? Nothing in return. It makes us now dependent more so on those folks. And what does that also mean, too? When they come in to gentrify our community, to give it a middle-class status, what does that do? It closed down our black schools. It closed down our stores, our churches and all, for the most part, so that these people can bring in their outside schools, churches, businesses, and put it in a community where they themselves now become an actual part of the black community. Black folks no longer have a black community anymore. We just what you call fit-ins now. What we used to call black community was just fit-ins. It's no more running anything anymore. As a matter of fact, we make up about 12% of the black population on the northeast side, and guess what? We own about 3% of the businesses. That is a whopping 9% difference, y'all, in numbers that is very frightening. So that means that the Asians, they watch this here, though. The Asian community, our other community that comes in, they make up 13%. And guess what? They own 14% of the businesses on the northeast side of Oklahoma City. Think about that. That's very frightening and scary, y'all. And after a while, when they start continuing buying up our property, buying up our schools, buying up our homes, What does that mean? That means you got to get out. Because now when they come in, the communities are becoming opulent. A house that used to cost you and me $40,000, now in the neighborhood of $350,000. So what does that mean? You got to move out because your standards of living has decreased, and you're not going to be allowed to live in the same higher echelon of living as the power and wealth do when they come in. The plot by the city county officials are designed to take you and me to move us out and to flourish our black communities once again. The white folks want the community back on the northeast side because look at all the possible developments, the oil, the racetrack, the hospitals, I-35, Frontier City, Spring Lake, the gambling casino, the racetrack, the river, I forgot the name, Remington. So think about that, y'all. You think that they were putting all that over for you and me? No, they weren't putting it over for you and me. Now, we are supposed to be what you call stop-ins and hand-ins, but for the most part, it was not intended for you and me. Brothers and sisters, we are broke, disgusted, and we can't be trusted. We must make the sacrifices to keep our monies here in the black community, and we do that by stop spending needlessly on things that don't amount to a hill of beans in respect to us. We must make wise decisions. We need to get out of this mode of thinking that we are about something when in reality we aren't, because our conditions show that we are not. Leona, what do you think about what I just said?
Here I am. I think that you're exactly correct. You're right. If we would hold on to our money instead of every little money we get, we run and bleed it into the community. If we can make wiser decisions on how to spend our money and get out there amongst the people with our money and hold on to our money, we can make better choices.
Amen. And like you said, we're just so into that moment type mode of thinking. I want something now. I want something in a hurry. I want something quick. But at the same time, Leona, we're missing out on our future. Our future is our children. Our children should be better off than what we are today, but we are not, because we're not using the education system to better our conditions, to pass it on, the torch, to our youth, to our children, like the power that be, the wealthy they do. They gobble up all the money in our community, and guess what? Their children inherit their fortunes. It's just that we as black folks, what can we do, y'all, to change this status, this reckless lifestyle that we as blacks are faced with on a daily basis? Now, I must admit, for in the past half century, we've made great strides, great gains, I mean, substantial ones in social and economic progress. But our biggest main source, Leona and others, is that we don't really have the political power and position that we need to pass laws and legislation that's going to embrace our ideas and include us in the mainstream of America's politics and America's government and America's social structure. What do you think about that one, Leona? Mayotte is out tonight. She won't be in, so then I guess if she does, we'll definitely recognize her.
I think that, you know, just like you said, the other cultures, they leave an inheritance for the young people and their children's children. And we have been so deprived and having no reparations, having nothing, you know, but just a job that to survive on. So if we get anything, we run and spend it carelessly. But if we could step back, take a second look at our own self and our own situation, and make our spending count. And if it is to count, it could help our situation and help us to be educated to the place where we could change our surroundings.
That, you know, that was beautifully put in. That was beautifully put by you, Leona. And if we can just, like you just said, get off of that starting block and quit thinking that others have to do for us rather than doing for ourselves, things would be so much better. I like what you just said. But in reality, our problem exists, as you just said, because we're off into spending rather than collecting monies, merchandise, that's going to offset what we do spend. So in other words, if we spend $4 buying a bag of cookies, we should be inheriting, actually putting back at least three times that. So in case we need it again, we can also go back to it. In other words, what I'm saying, if we spend $4, we should be increasing it by threefold and putting away $12. The purpose of that is so that we'll continually build in our bankroll, in our pockets, because if you spend $4 and you're bringing $3 back in, you're never going to go broke. Because from that $3 you put in, you spend $4, come $3 more again. That's how the white people think. That's how the power that be think. But we need to start thinking like that ourselves, because until we do, we're going nowhere fast, Leona. Our point is that we don't have the political positions that we need to have people to go in there and talk about increasing and bettering our financial wealth. And you want to know why? Because these people fear our presence. They fear that we have the talent and know-how and the ability to come up again and make America great again, unlike what Donald Trump was speaking about. We're talking about making America great again by taking the power away from the white supremacists who are holding us down. And this time, when we build it up again to put it back on its right path, this time we get paid in the process rather than being excluded from the financial wealth and gain. What do you think about that?
Excellent. Excellent. If we could decide how, when, where, why, the W word, to spend our money and take time spending our money instead of getting and running, running to give it away.
Come
if
on.
We take time to make a calculated move on how to flood our money back in. So that we'll be able to see our way out of a dark hole.
Amen. Now you're talking to me. You know, you just said it. Seeing our way out of a dark hole, Leona. Now, in reality, we see the problem. We live the problem. We think the problem. But why are we so afraid to come up under that umbrella of doubt, fear, and shame to embrace a lifestyle that is going to be conducive to making our lives overall better? What is our problem right there? Can you give me an answer? Can you answer that for me?
Our minds have been conditioned. We've got to, in the Bible it says, take off the old man and put on the new creation with the renewing of our mind. If we can take our mindset out of being programmed into, we give you this, you bring it right back to us. And take a calculated move on when, where, why, and put the H in the how we're going to distribute our finances.
Amen. 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 Now you got
I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voice mailbox that has not been set up yet. Goodbye.
Okay, so now, Leona, in retrospect, you have a great, great idea. Okay?
Your great idea. You're calling. If you have a mailbox on this system, please press pound.
I'm sorry, I don't know. It just came on by itself. I don't know.
No, no, that's not you. No, no, that's not you. That's somebody else trying to get on. That's not you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, so the whole point in all this, Leona, is to let people know that until we can fight the power that be, Leona, our children are desperately in need of guidance and leadership. But we cannot have the leadership financially, socially, politically, and economically until we sit down in an organized setting and bring something to the table of independence without allowing an outsider to come in and persuade us and direct us on the course of path that we should take. This has been our problem because people on the outside has been coming on the outside, coming into our groups and telling us, this is what we think y'all should do. Look how successful we are. No, you can't put my status in my lifestyle in what you're doing because you are a totally different culture than I am. You have a different background than what I do. You have white supremacists on your team. You have a great opulent lifestyle and great businesses and communities and things that I don't have. You can't take an apple that's half eaten and tell me it's whole. So in that sense, I'm saying then, Deona, only a people who look like you, who dress like you, who has the same economic plan as you, can come to the table and set up a financial need and expression on how we should gather and ungather the things that's holding us back. Now, economically speaking, I've just stated, we've come up a long way, a century ago, half century ago. But at the same time, we still have a number of other things standing in our way, and we're going nowhere fast. So I'm saying to every each and every one of you, thank you all for joining us tonight. Yeah, this is People Power Radio, and we're talking with your host, with the most, Brother Baba Wetafa. Our topic tonight is Black Economic Times. Blacks, where do we go from here? Amen to that. So again, I'm talking with my special host, with Miss Leona. She's on the line, and she's been for the regular past for past 4 weeks. And we definitely give her an opportunity and recognize her and thank her for joining us, as well as those of you who are on the show with us. Money, 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 y'all. We cannot do without money. We must have an economic base that matches and fits the economy, the establishment of those who control us, who tell us what medicines we can take, who tell us what schools our kids go to, who tell us what houses we can live in. Now, having said that, y'all already know I'm going to get real deep with it because this is my study, my field of study. I want to talk about black workers. Listen carefully now, everybody. I want to talk about black workers facing representation and pay gaps. You heard what I said. The majority of black folks in the same position as whites are not paid the same equal pay scale as their white counterparts. And this is a very discouraging, frightening reality that needs to be looked into, because as long as that pay gap is still recognizably visible, then that means that we're still going to be late in catching up and getting the same financial status as our nemesis. Then we talk about black business owners. How do you get off the ground without money? How do you scale up and match up with those already, your counterparts, who already have the money, who have the bank accounts? And for the most part, a lot of us has been discriminated against by what you call redlining laws. Now, what does that mean? Redlining laws mean you couldn't borrow from banks, loan companies. And the purpose of that was to keep you downtrodden, broke, disgusted, and leaning and dependent upon your slave master's children, who are the ones representing the big banks, big corporations as we see them today. Black consumers, listen carefully, y'all. Underserved communities, we have room for growth. Y'all heard what I said. Because of this economic gap, we are underserved in our communities, and we have large room for growth. But the only way we can get in and fit in is that we begin to understand that from this growth comes our independence, our rightful state of mind, but we can't do it without the help of the one who created us, God, who sees and knows all, y'all. Our biggest problem today is that we don't put God first in our lives because he never sleeps, he never slumbers, and sees all things that goes on in our lives. No matter what someone tried to do racially against us, may profile us, stereotype us, but God sees and knows all. Black savers and investors, we're looking for you as well. We have to front, listen carefully, y'all, we have to confront the racial wealth gap. If I go into a store next to a wealthy white person and there's a couch to be bought, we both like it, he has the means to get it, I'm going to always come up short. So the point of financial gain, y'all, is to give us an equal fight, an equal opportunity, so that we can at least debate or even fight over it, in a sense. What I mean by fight over it is that we can both say, okay, you want to give $40? I'll give $45. He may come with $50. But you cannot negotiate if they have all the money and you don't. What about that, Leon? Am I right?
You're right. You're exactly right. If you make a calculated study of your finances, whether they be less, more, or in between, if you make a calculated decision on what your needs are, what your wants are, what you got to have right now, and make it as a calculated decision, that maybe I don't need them earth doors right now. Maybe I put that money in an account and learn and draw interest on it. So you got to make a calculated study of your own economic situation.
Now, I like that. Oh, that's so beautifully put, man. Look like, Leona, you studied that carefully. I mean, you must have had some kind of success on the economic side, what a lot of persons have. I mean, am I right in guessing that?
Yes. Yes, you are. I built a company from the ground up. And as you spoke about the redlining laws, the people down. And they wanted to come to me and say, okay, we'll finance you $1 million, but you got to give us more of your company than you have.
Wow.
You know.
So
yes. So
the mindset of that was trying to divest you of what life would belong to you then.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't fall for it, though, did you?
No, I did not. No, I did not.
And that's thanking grace.
You,
because let me tell you, sister. Go ahead.
If you have God, as you spoke before, if you have God in your life, he is going to give you the desires of your heart. Put him first. Lean not to your own understanding, and he will.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying he might. He will direct.
Come on now.
And if you have him, you're able to say, okay, I'm not going to jump and give them more than I have or something God gave me. I'm going to wait. It's a time and a season for everything.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
And so wait. There's nothing wrong with waiting.
You're absolutely right.
I'm sure going to see us waiting. If our children see us, well, we are not going after flooding the community with every bit we got. If you train your child up in the way they should go, that's what he means. To make a calculated decision. That their money counts too.
Wow, Leona, you hit the nail right on the head.
You're not just after bad Samara George. It counts if you wait on Samara George. Because if you wait, you may get 2-for-1, 3-for-1. But you take it and you run and you give all you got. That's to put all your eggs in one basket, taking a risk that the whole basket be taken from you. But if you hold on, wait, I say, wait on the Lord. He'll direct your path.
You know what? You know, that's very wise the way you put that. I mean, it's very encouraging because what you're saying is a lot of people already embrace. We need to stop and take our time, be patient, and let the Lord lead us. But more than the Lord leading us, we have to dismantle this white supremacist system, the barriers that are put in place to keep black America from fully participating in the economy of the United States and thereby being a part of the economic success and growth and independence. We have to have the same products or access opportunities like the power that be do, Leona. And the reason we don't have that is that we are the ones who make the money for them in their institutions. You understand?
Yes.
We work for them, so therefore they want to keep. Go ahead.
We don't feel like our money is making a difference, but our money is what has made the difference. Because upon our back, upon our brow, upon our sweat, upon our hurt, upon our pain, upon our separation, they have taken a flight in society, which makes them, in the supremacist standpoint, have a hand over us. But if we wait and take a calculated move on how we're going to flood our money back into the society, we'll have a better chance to see what a difference our money makes.
Oh, wow, that was so beautifully put. This is Brother Baba Wetaffa right here in Oklahoma City. My special guest tonight, Sister Leona. She's been with us now for the last 3 to 4 weeks, and again, we definitely welcome her insight and her wise knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Tonight, we're talking about black economic times, how we can better our conditions here in the Western Hemisphere as blacks. Again, we generate over more than $1.6 trillion in revenue, and yet we have basically nothing that we offer in terms of investments of turning it over that money. We're not talking about the few wealthy millionaires and maybe 1 or 2 billionaires. We're talking about the mindset and the masses of how they're being left out of the mainstream of America's politics, America's government, America's social, economic, and political institutions. So when we look at those, again, we think about our programs. Everybody is listening on the sound of our voice. We want to thank you for listening to us. Black Americans face many obstacles in trying to build. Again, the redlining procedures that were in place, the lack of education, the discrimination, the racist motivations and things that are keeping us from moving forward. It's hard to invest, yet at the same time, we've become the consumers of big corporations, big business. And again, they don't want to lose our employment. They don't want to lose our being customers to them. Why? Because we make up the bulk of spending measures, spending in their corporations, spending in their soap companies, spending in their restaurants, spending in their schools, spending in their casinos, spending in their factories. Yes, black folks make up about 40% of all spending measures in the United States. And guess what? We are worth more than $1.6 trillion in revenue, y'all. We should be spending that money. Don't y'all know what we can do if we collectively came together and spent that finance, the $1.6 trillion, and kept it in our own community? Can y'all imagine how independent we become? But the main source of our problem is they have lulled us to sleep. They told us to be workers. They told us to be passive. They told us to not depend on each other, but to depend on the same wicked people who held us in the Western Hemisphere in slavery and in bondage under slavery, suffering, and death for more than 450 years that we have been here, our ancestors. We have nothing whatsoever to put in place for all the discrimination and lies that we have been subjected to. Now, let's talk about black Americans in the middle class. We need to start transforming ourselves, Leona, and everybody else. Let's live the lives of millionaires. But you can only envision the life of a millionaire. You cannot actually live it until you start thinking about in terms of what you're going to do to put a dent in that racial gap that exists in the United States labor market. But this is the same discriminatory practices that live and exist even in Africa and other places of Europe where blacks and minorities and aborigines exist in the economy. Yes, y'all heard me. We are grossly disproportionately acknowledged and excluded from America's mainstream of success. Tell me, Leona, what can we do to straighten out and improve our capital to where we can become independent in our networks and professional opportunities like everybody else?
We can start by taking a calculated move by getting ourselves in a position where we can start at home teaching our children how to live in a community that has oppressed us and kept us down.
If we are
able to give them the insight to make a capital decide, okay, I got a job, I got some money, I'm going to take this and I'm going to put it over here. And so, stop, wait. I taught a class back in the day, stop, drop, and roll. So if we stop, watch, and make a calculated decision, we're able to succumb a lot of the difficulties that have been pressed upon us, instilled in our minds, stamped on our forehead, that we should live by.
So you think then, what other than the measures that has been placed before us, you have to realize, I see one of other Keely Smith Payne has just popped online. Thank you for joining us, Keely. That's why I called you earlier. I'm glad that you finally did get on. Welcome to the show tonight. We're talking about Black Economic Times. And welcome to each and every one of you all are listening to us under the sound of our voice. Let me say as well, Leona, what you just spoke about. Racial gaps that exist across the United States market, especially in occupational representation, ultimately manifest as a $220 billion annual wage disparity. You didn't hear me. Listen carefully, everybody. The disparity between blacks and whites in the United States as far as money spending, there's a gap of $220 billion annual wage disparity. We can't catch up like that. Are y'all kidding me? That means they have $220 billion annually to not only keep us in despair, but to control us and to prevent us from coming up, because every time we might think we want to buy property or a business, what are they going to do? They're going to overrun us because they have the money already in pocket to push us out of the way. I'm sure all of you have heard the term first come, first serve. That's the whole demographics of why that's out there. Gaps exist across industries, y'all, and geographical locations, and they hinder our pathway in advancement in our individual capacities and desires to come up out of the poverty that tens of thousands and millions of us are existing in on a daily basis. We find it hard during the depressive times to find food for ourselves. We're living in a recession, y'all. Food is going up. Gas is going up. Rent is going up. Everything is going up by way of where we, as a society of people, are being negatively affected by it, but the powers that be are the ones perpetrating it all, because they have all the money, has sucked up all the money in our communities and giving back to them, having you and me fighting over what's left. Thereby, we're concentrating on one another and forgetting about who the real wage burners are forcing us to fight over the crumbs that are left on the table that we are trying to absorb into our lives. Again, now this is Brother Baba. We're topping right here in Oklahoma City. Our host with the most, and we also have a Sister Lena. She's been here for the most part for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and we definitely welcome her ideas and her concepts and opinions. We also have on the line Sister Keely Smith, who is, again, our Vice President of Operation in our organization Economic Education and Political Sphere and Arena in Empower People Incorporated, again, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. Let me say, y'all, that there are also less white workers being paid less than the average black woman who has a significant job in terms of managerial role. That's right. the manual labor white worker makes more than a manager in a less progressive role than a black woman does. Now, how does that happen, y'all? I don't have to tell you about the black men because we are so disproportionately discriminated against, ignored, shot down, killed, placed in hospitals, placed in mental institutions. Why? Because through the black man is the security and strength of his female. So if I get you out of the way, then your female, she's definitely going to want to run to strength. The white man's going to be the only strength. Why? Because you got me in prison, in jail, then killed me in a mental institution. She's not going to want to just not have and do for herself to prepare for her children, to feed, to put a roof over their heads, put them in a proper school and education. And if she can find the other person to do that for her, self-preservation is the first law. And guys, we cannot get past. So look here, black man, get up off your damn behind, and let's get this thing straight. Talk to me, Leon.
Okay. Now, as I have said before, if we make a calculated deficit that we're going to hold our monies that we do get, where to put them, where to place them, when to place them, and why. They have taken away affirmative action, y'all. They've taken that away. We no longer have that where you could get in and possibly have a pay that is worthy, that you can support your lifestyle with. State jobs are out there where all state employees are paid the same rate as each other and one another due to the merit system that is out there. So if you educate your alone with the with your instructors, your teachers, your professors, your doctors, your lawyers, educate yourself in being in the presence of society, then you'll have enough knowledge to go to the corporate community and get a job which is equal and conducive to the other man.
Amen, amen. All right. Thank you so much. You've enlightened us with that knowledge. You just spit it out. I appreciate that very much. I'm sure a lot of us do as well. Sister Keita, I see you on the line. You got anything you want to add to that before I continue?
Yes. It took me back to when I was a representative for the Black Economic Times here in Oklahoma City. I was the sales rep. And working for the Black Economic Times, we had another news publication here, Oklahoma City, Mr. Perry. And there was kind of a controversy, but at first we were hitting the black community with some good news you can use for the community as opposed to the Black, you know, Economic Times. So when I was out there pushing the news publication magazine, and also companies were buying we were selling ads for the publication, and so when I noticed there were Puerto Rican, you know, there were mixed people who understood what it's like to go through, you know, hard times, and they spent more money with me than opposed to the East Side. Why? Because people on the East Side, to me, were so more involved with the publishing company with Mr. Perry, and it was a lot of gossip. It was a lot of gossip that took place in Oklahoma City. But to make a long story short, I was raised under my Uncle Portwood Williams. So in that family, we learned about economic times. We learned to go and help support one another. Our, the children who was a little bit more smart and was gifted, the elderly people invested in us. that's how I was able to connect and be sent to go take care of Clara Luper and to go take care of a federal judge that worked to help support the black people to send us into better school districts from where we were being treated and being educated. So it just needs to have to sit down before the elders who were on their way out to where I was chosen out of the whole family reunion, children. It was a song called God Knows My Name. He knows my name. So I ushered all the elders in, and Uncle Portwood was the first elder to be ushered in and understanding about what we were taught through Clara Luper, through him, as opposed to set economic times. We was taught a one love. It's called one love. God is love. One love, you know, one peace, one love. You don't have no peace. If you don't have no oneness, you don't have no love, you don't have nothing. So you have to find a group of people, just like Harriet Tubman, had a one love for the culture of black people, where she put a life down, you know, on the line to get these smart children who was gifted up into the north. So there were families that wasn't related to these gifted children that she was getting ready to send, but they took them in as their own children and raised them, but they forgot. Maybe some did send money back home, but some forgot and said, I ain't going back. I'm enjoying the money. I'm enjoying the new life up in the north part of the country. And so I'm doing good, so I'm going to establish a business, and I'm not going to send no money back. I'm not going to forget about them, because if I try to send it back or go back, I might die. So, the people are on their own. But the sad thing about it is the song said, God bless the child that got his own. What? That was the woman that came up and made it big for herself, and she was saying, God bless the child that got his own. So that meant when they got their own money and their own homes, their own lifestyle, they really forgot about the community. Now, except to me, Tulsa, Oklahoma, now that was the last town other than that made a big impact on the whole world, the whole country, was Tulsa. And they became jealous of the money that was being what we call circulated. We got another chance here in Oklahoma City to do this right. But to me, it starts with the Freedom Center. It starts with remembering. It starts with the memory of a black woman who laid her life down on the line. And it took her to go before, not to go before the white system, but she went before the brothers and said she had a dream. These brothers stepped in ahead of her and said, hey, like Martha Corwood did, hey, I'm going to drive this car into the white neighborhood. I want y'all to walk behind me while I'm driving, just in case I get ambushed. If I get ambushed first, y'all know to retrieve and go back. So I believe that the brothers stood, because she said, this is just not for me. I'm a mother that's carrying a baby, you know, spiritually, a baby, spiritually, you know, pregnant. And so they understood what she was talking about. But if a woman would have went before the city hall or whatever to try to state her claim, it would have taken her more longer of a time to me get help. But if a woman steps back and trusts that a man would say, let me usher you in. Let me usher you in and cover you and protect you and know what the rules are of the game.
Well,
I
right.
teach you. You go in there and you learn. That's how I learned when I worked for the federal judge. He had all these books of all nationalities, and I picked up one in my hand, and it was a Muslim Bible, and I turned around and asked him, was he a Muslim? And he said, well, no, of course. He said, of course not. He called me Angel. He said, I'm a judge that has to judge people rightly according to their nationality. He said, you got to read
yeah.
everything about everybody. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I've learned by going in, he said, he gave me the name as a little girl. He called me Black Fox. Black Fox, what's your story? You got to have a story. You think I didn't go in there with my story, and guess what? My story was him, who I was connected to, the bloodline. Clara Luper, who I was born, you know, who I was connected to, born in the family. So he said, it ain't what you know, it's who you know. So
amen.
I know
let me...
my family, bloodline, and history. So guess what? When I saw Michael Washington one day on Facebook pointing at that building and said something's wrong with this building, he's wanting to know what is going on. Somebody needs to be held accountable. Nobody came forward. But when I saw him, I wrote, I text messaged him, I called him with my story. So I believe that if we can see where someone left off the legacy for us to pick up, that worked. That
yeah.
worked for her. That worked for Tulsa. Look where they're at now.
Yeah.
So if we can find people with the same common goals, have the same things in common, we're talking about peace and one love.
All right. So
my God.
Very beautifully laid out. That, you know what?
Yeah, we,
a lot of our listeners are listening to that, and they now have a very familiar voice in yourself telling about the struggles and how we, as our own organization, Empower People Incorporated, took the initiative to preserve the oldest historic black landmark that is responsible for desegregation, getting rid of discrimination, racism, and opening the doors for blacks to be able to go in restaurants, theaters, parks, all kind of things, hospitals, and the whole shebang. We were a part of that Clara Luper event. And guess what? Now that we get ready to have the Freedom Center preserved, more than $2 million are already being poured into the Freedom Center right here on the northeast side of Oklahoma City, which in fact, the powers that be, as well as a few handful of blacks, actually were disgruntled at the fact that we took the initiative to save that historic landmark, because the whole purpose was to put in its place a big old skyscraper condominium to match that vacant spot where the store was that they're getting ready to make a gated community for the wealthy, white, opulent styles and others who have the money to go into the gated community like they do in Nichols Hills. Right now, we have preserved a history that I know Mother Clara Luper saying thank you for having the initiative to not let my legacy die in vain.
Yeah.
When the Freedom Center was closed in 2010, everybody that's listening,
we have now
preserved it in 2017, and it's going to be extended far more than a small little shack that you see it today. Mm-hmm. It's going to be two stories high. It's going to be two blocks long. It's going to have theater. It's going to have exhibit places. It's going to have video presentations. It's going to have historical countries and cities, and we're going to talk about the economics. We're going to talk about educators. We're going to talk about pioneers. We're going to talk about great business owners who look just like us. And what that's going to do is generate the funding and monies that we're talking about black economic times tonight about.
That's right.
Leona, talk to me. You've been signing. What's up with you?
Okay. I marched with Clara Luper at the age of 10 years old. I called the little five under moon. And I was
See how good God is?
Okay.
Mm.
Congratulations. Amen.
If we get behind, this is all about our children. because we know which way to go. But our young people up under us is lost in the gap. If we get behind our children, teaching them, helping them to understand, as I was saying before, were to make a calculated move in flooding the community back with their presence. If they can teach themselves along with their teachers, I had scholars. I'm a scholar in college. I was a scholar. I had a scholarship. That's what makes you a scholar. I was a scholar in college. But every class, everywhere I went as far as education, I helped teach myself along with my professors, along with my teachers, along with my parents, along with my clergy, church leaders, and things of the nature. If we can teach our children to help teach themselves as they are being taught, this will close the gap of ignorance and not knowing unawarely yourself out there as a target to be shot down, put down, and let down.
Can I say something?
You remember Elder Michael Washington when you took us into the city hall, and before we could talk, we said our name, but the judges or the lawyers, they wanted us to sign our name on that sheet of paper before we could tell our story.
Uh-huh.
And when I told my story, I remember Uncle Paul would say, Black Fox, you got to have a story. So when I told my story, I had no idea. Every Calvin Luper story, my husband's story, Elder Washington, he ushered us in to say, hey, you got an open mic, the floor is yours. You tell the gospel truth. You know, you tell the God loving is the truth. So by the time we got through, they were crying. I had no idea what the tears was all about, but maybe the power and anointing of God fell upon them to where they understood where Elder Michael Washington was coming from. Now, guess what? I just found out years ago that he was one of those students. He was one of the kids that they were saying, hey, look here, you're going to get this right, young man. You got places to go, people to see, and things to do. I believe, you know, when we have people who are grown, but yet, you know, Elder said, you're going to learn. Oh, yeah, you're going to learn sooner or later.
Amen.
Let the weak say, I am strong. The people who are coming out of the prisons, the women and men and young children that are coming out of these places where they went in at a young age, I believe they can come back and tell the gospel truth to this generation that's coming and say, hey, don't go. Let me tell you my story. It's death.
Amen.
In a place.
Amen.
It's hell. It's a horror. It's a horror hell place. You know, so if those who have had this trauma, being traumatized by being misled and being misunderstood, let's say growing up being jealous, hatred, unforgiveness in their heart, because maybe Santa Claus was giving out bikes and giving out stuff to kids who had money. I mean, you know, kids who grew up with parents who got them bikes and all this, and the less fortunate kids didn't get that bike. Child grow up and be mad and jealous because you got a brand new bike, you got this and you got that, and it growed up to become a selfish and hatred for their own black brothers and sisters. But I believe if we can get these brothers and sisters that's coming out and ask them, can they be a part of helping to rebuild or reestablish by telling their stories to these children, that if these kids do something in school and get in trouble, they got to come to the Freedom Center. That's going to be a school somewhere, an adequate school, a class there in that program that's going to teach them etiquette. This can teach them something that they didn't get, that Clara Luper was giving a lot of young people. If you couldn't spell hamburger, you wasn't getting no hamburger. You getting chicken nuggets. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But so, I'm 61, y'all, but I'm still a childlike. I have a childlike spirit, and people take advantage of that. Because I'm so humble, they think I'm stupid. And I be saying, do I look like I got stupid on my forehead? But you don't know my story, where I've been. So God has said, let them think you stupid. But one day, they're going to see who was in their presence when they put you down, when they stole from you, when they took advantage of your gifts, and when your gifts you put out there, they took your gifts that God had given me and built and bought a $1 million church over the artwork of the ideas that I created, and then told me, hey, business is business, is what the church told me. And you know, in other words, what I'm trying to say, you all, we have to not say everybody. Me, I can tell you as a testimony, as a licensed and ordained minister, when I got it right and I understood and heard the voice of God, and when I started speaking what God was saying and I was ahead of my time, the church literally put me out. Why? It's because I was sharing my ideas with Muslims, with all kind of colors of people who saw that vision and supported me. And because I came into a church with a Muslim brother, they shined me away. So what I'm saying, Clara Luper knew all nationality of people. So that's when I say one love, you know, peace and one love, because when she passed away, it was more white people of all nationalities that was there at her service.
Yeah, you're right.
So if we can say,
you're absolutely right about this.
Can anything good come out of Nazareth, out of the town where they always said that it was people who like where Christ came from, Galilee. In other words, huh?
Palestine was it?
Yes, in
Galilee.
Can
anything come out of Egypt, Palestine? Yes, they can, and definitely it has been, because look at the crop that we came from. You know, we didn't come from America.
Yes.
I mean, although we've had family members throughout our ancient times who visited more so, and for the most part left large monumental headstones of godlike structure. And again, the Aztecs and Inca Indians and all recognized the gods we were and built monumental structures in honor and waiting for God to be returned. They saw us as gods at these times, but people don't want a reality to hit. They're taking us, y'all. Listen, God's chosen. We'll be back on top once again, regardless of the economic gaps, regardless of the religious gaps, regardless of the education gaps, regardless of the historic gaps. We are now reaffirming and refurbishing ourselves, but the only holdup is the fact that we, as black in the Western Hemisphere, have a crab in the bucket syndrome. If you're coming up, I'm going to hold you back down because I don't want to come up. That
Amen.
Is our biggest problem. And the men of today are agents of the other side. Just like the people who killed Malcolm X and other black folks, we have realized that we are being taken out by people who look like us, who are going in and taking our information back and taking it back to master, who in turn know our very move before we start out, and therefore are able to disrupt us and interrupt us, desegregate us, take us out of our mold of thinking, because we've given ourselves, we've been infiltrated like they've always done in the 60s to make sure that we got nowhere fast.
Yeah.
They give us this.
Amen.
Now, let me tell y'all something, man. God is on our side, but you have to. He's not going to embrace you, pull you into the forefront of your bootstraps until you show yourself to be worthy of him getting back into your life. You remember, God turned his back on the children of Israel. Why? Because they turned it back on him and would not stand up and fight the opposing and oppressors, who in turn he sent them out into the wilderness. When Moses went out to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, Aaron was down there. They were worshiping idol gods and things. Aaron had to come back. Moses come back and say, Aaron, what in the hell are you doing, man? Don't you know God done brought us away from that idolatry? Now I got to kill a lot of these people because I can't take all y'all back to the promised land with us because you're going to take that madness and corruption. And guess what? He started from 20 on up and slaughtered them and took the babies on to the promised land. And that's how you know today, y'all, who's a part of what group. Because when you speak of God and the devil, you know who you are. You know what you stand for. And you're not in them streets doing corrupt things, although we did. When you come home and leave that stuff behind, guess what? We know who you are. I had to put that out there.
Absolutely. I can remember when I started my own news publication magazine called God's Woman of Wisdom, Educating Humanity. I had a vision. And when I told, I was a young girl on welfare, and they were saying, this was the first time they started telling us young girls, hey, we fishing just throw you out there in the world, and you're on your own. And we're like saying, we don't have no car. How are we going to get there? Oh, well, get there the best way you know how, but come to this meeting and tell us what your vision and your dream is all about. I said, I have a vision. I want to own my own news publication magazine. You know what they told me? Okay, well, we need to talk to you later. Hold your thought. You know, if the class was over, they come and ask me, oh, we would like to invest our money in you, but one of the part of my idea, my vision of the news publication magazine. I told them no. Why? It's because it wasn't going to benefit them. I wanted a publication that was going to benefit the young black women who were 13, you know, as young as 13 that got pregnant. And y'all going to say now we get a certain age. We didn't even train y'all.
I would like to say something. Back when you and me, Michael, all us was coming up, we had neighborhood youth court. They gave us jobs at 14 years old. They have nothing in place today and this time for our youth to come up by, to come up with, to feel proud of, to care about themselves. So if we in our home, us mothers, we're mothers, if we, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart. If they depart, they can come back as a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. But we're so busy with the Aaron movement, like Mike said, the Aaron movement. Moses went up to the mount. He went on up to Sinai. He saw God's glory shine in his face. He came back, and Aaron was partying and worshiping idols. How many people today is worshiping idols instead of worshiping God, training up their children in the way they should go? That's our job. If we miss the mark, our children miss the mark. And
okay, so where do we go from here now? What should we do? How do we get started with what we call a revolution? You know, a new revolution, a revelation. Say that too.
A new revelation to start right now. Start in your home.
These teenagers is out here packing guns, shooting people.
If you train your child that is incorrect behavior, that there is something better than to do such a thing by being an example, by being, first of all, an example.
These and you know where and where I have it. Yes, ma'am. And I really feel, and I really feel in my heart, like I said, the Freedom Center, I believe it can start there by getting women that's come out of prison, that I stand in the gap.
Yeah, we can definitely start.
Not only myself, but other women who missed the mark. You know, I made mistakes where I didn't know how to raise my children to where my kids may look back and say, I remember, Mama, you worked three jobs and you was never at home. So it was like, why you hold it against me? I kept a roof over your head. But if some of these, some of us women who come out of prison, if we can cry before the nation to say, hey, I'm sorry, my son, my daughter, I wasn't there for you. I went another direction. I got caught up. Mm-hmm. I was out there trying to figure out how to make the money to pay the bills, to feed you all. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And those women who have passed on and died, if we stand in the gap in the nation and ask God to forgive us first and ask the children to forgive us, and your mother's not living, your mother may not be here or your father, but we want to say, we're standing in the gap and asking them to forgive not only them, but forgive us also. I believe if we decide to come down and humble ourselves, and seeking God first.
Yes. Humility is the first thing. Humility.
Ma'am.
You got to do things with humility. You can't be out there pride and wearing pride in front of your children. Because if you wear pride in front of them, they're going to say, hypocrite. Hypocrite.
That's right.
You're just like them out there. I'm looking for you to be real with me. Be real with me. Feel my hurt. Feel my pain.
Hallelujah.
Pride with me. The sweat on my brow is the sweat that you and the stripes on my back that you can come up on.
Mm-hmm.
You can come up on that same sweat on my brow and on my back. Same thing with Jesus.
I had mothers that was taking care of my kids when I was at work. I had mothers in the neighborhood that was feeding my kids when I was at work. And when I finally met the kids, the other neighborhood's mothers, maybe ran into them at church, here I am, a grown woman. Oh, this is Miss So-and-so. Sister, I thank you for feeding my son, for taking care and looking after my son when I was at work.
Well,
you know what, sister?
I was the mother out there that while the other mothers was gone, I raised three sons, but I raised five people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the mother community.
I didn't know those women. I took those children under my wing, and they're coaches and veterans and things of that nature. Took them under my wing. So, and our knees. Let us wear our knees out instead of our shoes. Let us wear our knees.
Wow, that's beautiful. You know what? The caring spirit, I feel that in y'all's motivation tonight. And I know each one of us today, a lot of people don't understand, y'all. Again, y'all, this is open time where everybody, we just talk about every subject now because, as y'all know, I didn't get a chance to mention that. But, again, you ladies have already taken out in good stride, so we continue on that. So a lot of our children, like you said, Keely, when you were out working, your children were at home, were missing you. Yet at the same time, you came up under the stressful economic times that required you to get out and feed your children or you'd be in the street. You have to also realize, too, that our children, for the most part, they're innocent. Unlike you, they don't know the importance and significance. No matter how you tell them, baby, I got to go out and feed you. I got to make sure you have clothes for school. I got to make sure I got gas for the car. And that sounds good. But they are raised due to your motherly love and care to be around you that when you're not around, they miss that. Because they're crying, you can't hold them, and you're not there. you know, take them to the park or what have you. Now they begin to float away from you and hold that against you when they grow up. At the same time, they don't realize that stress and we ourselves being incapable at that time to really explain to our children, other than, boy, go in and lay down. I told you, I tell you, Mom, you see, so they're kind of lost in the sauce. Their little minds, they absorb a lot. But when we don't have the education and the proper words to say to them, it's like, oh, man, they just told Mama just ignoring me altogether. Dad ain't nowhere around. Mama don't give a damn about me. I tell you what, I'm just going to let the friend, my street, be the friend then. I'm going to get in gangs. I'm going to go out because my brothers, they treat me more like a family than my family do. So that was the whole purpose of the government instituting these gangs and streets. The streets also let you know that I will take you out if you stay out on these streets too long. And at the same time, children don't call Mama, Mama no more. They call, hey, girl, hey, dude, I'm your friend now. Son, let me tell you something, boy. I told my little son when he was growing up, I said, look here, son, let me tell you something. Don't tell me I'm your friend, because I'm your friend you can disrespect, joke, and have fun with. First of all, I'm your dad, number one, and we are pals after that, but I'm not your friend, because a friend, I can lie to you, kick you upside the head, turn you up a flip, and do all that. So therefore, you're going to forget the dad part.
Yeah.
Okay? So you're going to know who I am, number one. I am your father, number one.
Amen.
You see? But we have to do it even with our children. I hear them telling about Mama. And yet, you know, Mama, hey, Susie. Hey, Betsy. They call it Mama and Daddy that. Hey, Johnny. You know what I mean? That's not, that is a symbol and sign of clear disrespect, that they've lost all respect for you when they talk to you like it, because they talk to their friends that way. Hey, Larry, let's go to the store. Hey, Susie, let's go to the park tonight. Okay? So instead of saying, Mama, let's go eat. Hey, Betsy, let's go eat some food. You see the difference there? Therefore, they don't have to respect you because they don't see you in authority anymore. That's why we have to get back. We've lost our authority and our relationship in our homes and our children, y'all. We have to get back to the basics and whooping their behind regardless of what Massa thinks and let them know, hey, you're not too big here. But at the same time, y'all, it's not to abuse and neglect and run over them. We have to have whoop them, sit them down and say, this is why Mama did this. They don't do that no more. They whoop you. Boy, go to bed. Get out of my face. I ain't got to say nothing to you no more. Don't come back in here. That's the wrong sign to send to them children. That's the wrong message. And that's why we have trouble.
And whoop them, excuse me, back then when I was, you know, a young parent, at, you know, getting married at the age of 15, going on 16 and all, because I had a child. Married the judge said, whose baby is this? We said, ours. And they said, okay, well, you don't need your dad. My father was on his way to come and sign the paper. My mother's like, you're too young. But the judge said, you need no parent to sign. Y'all did this on your own and married us without my father, my mother's consent. You know, but I'm just saying is that out of a mother's love, I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to get on welfare no more. I didn't want to have to go through a control, whatever. You do this, you do that. You get a car or what kind of car you get. We may own that car. You know, we if we give you the money, then we're going to own you and the car. But I've had to work those three jobs. And my kid said I was missing in action, and said it's like I read
home.
Yeah, but it was a mother's love that I didn't want to see my kids grow up and have to. You have to deal
I
with that.
That.
But, yes, and so thank God that even though I'm on another mission and I got to complete this first, but just because Kanye West, after Donda passed away, we had a family meeting. And my son is the oldest, and they said he's the one to be the go-between, that Kanye don't want y'all to think he don't love you all, but he said if it's anything you need, write a proposal. He just want a tax write-off. You know what I'm saying? But just because he said that, which I was on the same road, but just because he said that didn't mean that I wasn't walking in God's own time. I had to do what God told me to do first. You know what I'm saying? To make seen and know that I'm worthy of what God had called me to do. And when that time comes, I know how to go to my son and give a proposal and say, okay, this is it. My son kept saying, been having it for years, Mama. We've been waiting on you. I understand, son, but I'm about my business. So when that time comes, God will open that door and make it happen. But until then, I don't care how much money he got as my cousin. Uh-huh. I was on his payroll. I got the check receipts, you know. But that's bragging on is to say you have to know what money is for and when it's used.
I'm about to cut you off. I'm sorry, y'all. We get ready to get off the air. We got about 3 minutes. But let me say, this is Baba Wetapa right here in Oklahoma City. We are your host with the most. I'm Brother Baba Wetapa. And we're here at People Power Radio. Our topic tonight was Black Economic Time. We have our special guest tonight, Miss Leona, and, of course, our Vice President of Operations, Miss Keely Smith. And we just give God the praise and honor and glory that we were able to talk to y'all tonight, as y'all hear a little racket over my head. We got a helicopter going by, but again, God is good. I'm broadcasting on the outside tonight. I'm taking advantage of this nice, wonderful weather tonight. Let me say to each and every one of you, if you will have an idea for a show or broadcast, you can contact us at area code 405-246-9089. That's area code 405-246-9089, and that is the phone number to People Power Radio and Power People Incorporated, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, on the Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse. Our motto, again, is change your world and your world will change around you. We just want to give everybody the praise and honor and glory for listening to us tonight and let us come into your homes. We hope that we have given you something to think about and inspired you to want to be the best that you can become. So until then, y'all, I want y'all to love someone tonight. Tell them you love them, because tomorrow may not be promised to you. Let them know that, hey, in their hearts, they can be the best that they can become. Again, I'm Brother Baba Wetapa right here in Oklahoma City. I'm getting ready to say, and we're getting ready to sign off the air. We got about 2 minutes. Thank you, each and every one of y'all. And again, next Thursday, we're going to be talking about reparations number 7. That is the right of blacks to be given the long-awaited financial gain, as every other nationality who has been affected has been given theirs. We cannot take anything less, nor will we accept anything less from giving what is rightfully due to us. Everybody be blessed, and as Miss Catherine Burkhardt would always say, may God bless and keep you. May he allow his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Everybody, good night. May God bless you and keep me in your thoughts and prayers, because I will keep you in my thoughts and prayers. Y'all be blessed, and I have a good, wonderful Saturday, and hopefully tomorrow some of you can go to church, and you don't have to be in the church building. To be in church, you can be in church like we have in church right now. So, again, let's not be short-sighted. Be blessed, everybody. Have a wonderful night. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you. Peace and love.